Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Mahani Jahangiri, and welcome to Conversations with My Dog.
Today's guest is Russell Hunt from PetSlept.com. They are a pet-friendly property portal where it is free to register and upload properties, also offering a relocation service for pet owners who are having difficulty in finding somewhere to live with their four-legged friends. Russell set up PetSlepts in 2020 as he inherited three dogs from people whose landlord said no. He was previously in property for over 20 years, so understands bricks and mortar and loves pets. They also have a resident beagle, Basset, named Biscuit, who is also the co-founder and sniffs out good locations. Now it is such an honor to welcome Russell and Biscuit on the show. Hello, Russell. Namapaw.
Hi, Marnie. How are you? Thank you. Thank you for letting me on the show.
Absolutely. And what a beautiful day.
It's a lovely day. She's woken up.
She's woken up because I mentioned her name.
Probably. She has big ears. She hears everything.
She hears everything. Robbie's sitting on the couch and he's saying, oh, not another one of those podcasts, Mum. Can we just get out? He's done with it. He's done with it. Honestly, he's looking at me and saying, oh, God. Do you find it also that the dogs respond to laptops and things like that, gadgets?
Well, Biscuit is kind of more on Paw Patrol because a few weeks back, a cat kind of stuck her paw through a fence. And ever since that, she walks around the garden, you know, purveying her territory.
How cute. So what happened exactly? Did she just go nuts or?
Yeah, oh yes. And there are cats who just jump on the top of the fence and look down at her and she's jumping up and down barking. She's not going to catch them, but, you know, she's straight out the door.
But you know what's great? At least she has social interaction, unlike us. Or tell me, at work now, everything is online. How do you meet your customers with viewings and things? How do you do it?
You basically do Zoom calls. And what you're finding is particularly with clients from overseas, things are getting delayed. It's all about when they can get flights. Some of our clients on the relocation side are already in the UK, but they're waiting for their pets to be flown over. And it's a case of, so I spoke to a client the other day and she said, well, my four dogs could be over in the next 2 weeks. I just don't know. It's just whenever a window arises.
It's unbelievable. And it must cost a fortune to fly over a dog because I can't afford it. I go with Robbie to Switzerland, but we have to go all the way through Calais, you know, that Eurotunnel. And they bumped up the price three times more with the Eurotunnel. It's unbelievable. It's so expensive now.
Yes. Well, that was it. I mean, this client was saying the prices are going up all the time.
So how much is it to fly a dog over? It must cost a fortune. How much is it now?
I think it's a few thousand pounds, but I mean, it just varies as to which airline you're going with and what flight you get. People can't be fussy. They're just, so if you're coming, so people coming from South Africa, there are only two airlines that are flying at the moment and it's via somewhere else. So they can't be choosy.
Yes. It's incredible, especially South Africa. God knows how difficult it must be at the moment. You did mention, I read in your bio quite a lot about South Africa. Is there a relationship to South Africa there?
I've worked. I was a search agent for over 20 years with my previous company. I was a partner and I worked a lot with South Africans I'd say probably about 80% of our clients are South Africans. So actually, one of my clients the other day said, "Are you South African?" Because for some reason, I must have picked up some slight accent.
And how and why do South Africans like to relocate to the UK that is wet and dreary and, well, not such a great situation at the moment? Why would they relocate?
Primarily because of safety. They feel safe. They can start a new life. Lots of them have British passports, British citizenship, so it's easy to come over. And they have friends and relatives over here.
It's incredible. I have a South African friend and she said not in a million years would she relocate to South Africa at the moment. She doesn't care about lockdown. She doesn't care about tier 500 or, you know, if Boris wants to go on forever. She says, "I would never relocate." And I was quite shocked to hear that, how bad it is over there at the moment.
Yes. No, it is. People are leaving. Yeah, people are leaving because they just want a safer life.
A safer life. And it's nothing to do with COVID, right? We're talking about proper safety and security.
No, we're talking about proper safety. Yeah, we're talking
exactly.
about proper safety.
Something that we don't probably understand as Brits what it means, but we're just dealing with COVID. But anyway, coming to your... Yes, so I have so many questions, Russell, but let's start. How was Pets Let's born? You mentioned you are in property for 20 years. How... When, how, why?
Well, I grew up in London. I grew up in London as a Londoner. I inherited three dogs from people whose landlords said no. And then I was an estate agent for many years in PR and property, doing search for clients. And it kind of, I left the business and it kind of came around full circle. You know, Biscuit's 4 years old. We've had her since she was a puppy. And you just kind of realize how difficult it is over the years for people with pets to rent properties. Even it can be a little bit tricky if you're looking to buy a property as well.
Absolutely. And I was just, my second question is, why has London, a major global city, been so non-dog friendly over the years? Why is the subletting so difficult? The subletting more than anything?
Basically, if you look at a lot of the blocks in London, they all have antiquated non-pets clauses, you know, which... It would be a real hassle to change because you're always going to get someone who's going to complain about pets, you know, whether it's a dog barking late at night, etc. And it's too radical in a way to try and change those things in the big blocks. I think it's slowly changing. You find with some blocks there are concierges who might turn a blind eye, but if you're looking to rent in a block, you're not going to be able to get a proper tenancy agreement because at any time you could be evicted. So you find that there are a lot of landlords who own buy-to-lets in big blocks who really would like to rent out to people with pets but can't because the freeholder says no.
Incredible. I just don't understand because in France, for example, pets are part of the family. Or even in Switzerland, dogs can go into hotels, into restaurants, even sometimes supermarkets. It isn't a question. And I'm just wondering... Why in the UK we're so dog friendly? It doesn't make any sense.
But you know, Marnie, what's ironic is that so we've created a pets and property tips Facebook group just before Christmas, which is growing really well, and it's where we look to answer people's questions about renting with pets. But one of the things I've come across reading different Facebook groups and talking to people is that there are people who are pet owners. They are sympathetic with the fact that it's hard to find a pet-friendly rental across the UK, but yet with their own rental properties, they won't allow pets.
How much damage can I've got a Maltese Terrier. Well, how much damage can a pet do to the property? I just can't understand.
Well, I have three teenagers and a dog, and it's not the dog who makes the most damage. So I think it's overrated that dogs and cats, yes, I mean, there are... some bad examples, and there are landlords who've had bad experiences with tenants with pets. But the majority are really responsible, really well behaved. But you know, children have crayons, they have paintbrushes. You know, adults have parties. That, you know, in a way, with tenancies, it's a luck of the draw as to how well behaved and the wear and tear in a property. But I think that people with pets are kind of being pigeonholed by landlords as they equal damage. But the other problem is that in 2019, the government brought in the Tenancy Fees Act, in which they capped the deposit to 5 weeks. Now, for a lot of landlords, 5 weeks deposit is not enough to cover the potential damage that a pet could do in their eyes, which has put off more landlords from renting to people with cats and dogs.
Oh, I didn't know that. So before it was how much deposit previously? About 8 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, you could. But also you could enforce, you could stipulate in an agreement that you wanted it deep cleaned, etc. But that right has been taken away from landlords in that act. So they can't force people to deep clean a property. You know, they're taking on more of the fees that the tenants were charged before. So some landlords have tried to compensate themselves by introducing pet rents and things like that, which I think is not right.
Pet rents. Wow.
Pet rents. Yeah. So an additional amount of money per month per pet.
Wow. That sounds crazy. How much could that be? I mean, does it vary?
Well, it varies. It varies. Depends on the landlord. Some don't do that. There's some, with some properties, there's no additional rent. Some will charge anything between, you know, £20 to £50 a month per pet.
Right, so that's a bit like a pet insurance, isn't it? That extra additional pet let and the insurance on top. It's still quite costly,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly.
Especially now with the pandemic, it's so hard.
Costly.
How do people have that kind of money?
No, I think people struggle, and I think the other problem at the moment is, particularly if you're coming from overseas, it's harder to get references with COVID. And because the government are protecting tenants more during the COVID crisis with, people losing their jobs, etc., it's harder for landlords to evict tenants. So therefore, landlords are more apprehensive about taking on new tenants. So people are having to pay, 3 to 6 months up front.
3 to 6 months? And you don't even know if you're going to have a job next
up front.
Wow.
Well, that is it. But there again, landlords and agents look at the affordability. You know, can you afford to stay there? Because you could potentially lose your job, etc.
It's very difficult. We were hoping, my friend and I, we said, let's keep a lookout. Are the rents dropping in the next? We're hoping that it'll drop in the next months or so. We're waiting for a miracle. I've been in my place 15 years. I live in Woolston Green and I've got a studio and there's a garden, and it's perfect in summer. It's freezing cold in winter. It's drafty, but my landlord, for some reason, we've sort of managed to carry on, and he did not expect Robbie to show up. And it's really funny because I started off with a cat, a rescue cat, and he went, and I didn't tell him I rescued a cat. And one day my landlord came in and he looked and he said, "Is that a cat?" And I said, "Yeah, she's from outside. She just keeps visiting me." I made up that story for a few years. And he said, "That cat is quite often around, isn't it? Are you sure? Is this your cat, Marnie?" And one day I said, "Listen, I can say the name Paul. All right, Samantha's my cat." And he went, "Oh, you should have told me." And then the next thing happens, suddenly a little fluffy ball here shows up because he's a rescue. Long story anyway, he was a purchase made by a very wealthy Arab Iranian family who no longer wanted him. And I took over and he ended up with Samantha. So suddenly I have Robbie and Samantha. And then Paul came in and he said, "Well, this has to be your dog. This didn't come out of the garden, did it?" You know what I mean? And I said, yeah, Paul, all right. I've got a dog now. He's really lovely. He's been on Britain's Got Talent. He's a celebrity. You have to understand this. And I must say, he's the kind of guy, as long as you pay, he's all right. And there's the garden as well. So maybe I was quite lucky in a way, but now I've got neighbors next door and they moved in with their dog, and another neighbor upstairs moved in with a dog because he can't say no anymore because of Robbie. He feels bad now not to let other people in with dogs because he knows it would be, if neighbors hear Robbie, they say, "Well, hang on a minute, she's got a dog." So he's kind of got his work cut out, but that is that quite a regular thing? I mean, have I been lucky there, or what do you think?
No, Marnie, I think you've been very lucky. There are a lot of people who are renting. They rent somewhere, they move in, they get a dog, cat, and they're worried the whole time that the landlord will turn up. And they're too afraid to approach landlords. But what I would say to you and your neighbours is, do you have a pets clause in your tenancy agreement? Because if you don't, technically, your landlord could evict you anytime.
Really? Because of the... Oh, just because of the pet? My goodness. Even during COVID?
Yes, it breaks the agreement. I mean, it'd be harder during COVID, but technically, if you don't have a pets clause in your tenancy agreement, you can be evicted. Because otherwise it's a handshake, isn't it? It's just a goodwill gesture, but it's not set in stone. So that's something that people need to look out for.
Oh, that's really good to hear. My goodness. And what do you reckon are property prices? Are they dropping? How do you see the next few months?
On rentals, I think it's funny because in London, a lot of people want outside space. So something with a garden patio goes really, really quickly. The not so good properties do sit there. But I think the prices are about the same because things don't hang around for long.
Really? I thought, I see so many empty properties. I thought everybody had left. I mean, I just found out that 700,000 Europeans have left in last month, have left London. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of flats. No?
It is. There are a lot of empty properties, but the good properties go quickly. But you find a lot of those empty properties are in blocks. So regards, my pets lets and my business, you can't get pets in a lot of those blocks anyway.
Oh, I see. That makes a lot of sense. And so what are your properties then? What are you dealing with? Do you have central London or is it everywhere?
We cover the whole UK. So I have colleagues work with colleagues who cover the whole UK. So we just took on this week two clients, one in Northampton and the other one near Derby.
Mm, that's incredible.
And then we just had one that we found for in Kent as well. So we cover the UK.
It's amazing. And in terms of your services, landlords can register with you. There's a free online sign up. They can register.
Exactly. So PetsLets is a portal. It's a property portal, just like a Rightmove Zoop blurb on the market, where you can upload your properties and for free, and you can register as a tenant with a pet for free. And then you receive alerts. It's very, very simple. And there's a relocation service for people who need help finding somewhere.
Oh, incredible. So the relocation service contains what, a van or an airplane?
No, so you've got the portal, then the relocation service is a paying service. So you pay for myself or one of my colleagues to help find your property. So we will find you properties, come up with ideas for locations, types of properties, negotiate on your rent for you, deal with the tenancy agreement, make sure a pets clause is involved, and source through contacts. A property that work for you.
Incredible. That's incredible. I would think everything is a little bit easier at the moment to get. I thought landlords are just opening up their flats and like, come on in. You know, I really thought that it would be a lot easier and more, not compassionate maybe, but more flexible in a way. It still sounds the same as before.
Yeah, I think it's the same. I think it's slightly harder because landlords are worried that they will have to go through a long eviction process because someone can't pay.
Mm, exactly. That's absolutely. And have you had any difficult experiences recently with COVID? I mean, can you talk about it, in terms of clients and things?
No, I haven't. Not at all. I think, you know, the way forward is to educate landlords. And I think the more positive experiences landlords have with people with pets, the better it will become. Because the trouble is that when the landlord has a bad experience, that kind of sticks in their mind. And property is a small world. So a lot of landlords talk, particularly if they own portfolios.
I see. And what are the obstacles for example, a large size dog? Or a small sized dog. What would you recommend if somebody comes with a Labrador? Do you have recommendations?
There are some landlords stipulate they'll only have a small dog. Some landlords will say, I just want a cat. I think sometimes it's good for people to actually take your dog along. If you like a property, take the dog along and arrange to meet up with the landlord and say, look, you know, he or she is really relaxed. I've got, and the most important thing is if you can get a reference from a previous landlord to say never had a problem, no damage, really well behaved. That's really, really important.
I mean, Robbie doesn't bark. He doesn't do anything apart from Doga. He's so quiet. He's just a little fluff ball. You know, I used to leave him, and that sounds terrible, but sometimes 7 hours if I wasn't on a shift. And he never barked once, you know, but it's one of the dogs that he's used to being left on his own. That's another thing. It's getting more difficult. People, a lot of dog owners have told me that they're very concerned about going back to work, that their dog will be barking and crying and won't be able to be on their own anymore because of this whole attachment thing that has occurred whilst working from home. Have you heard about this? Have you heard any of your clients saying, oh, I'm scared, you know, if my dog will bark?
I think, yeah, people are in general are worried about it. But I think more and more people are working from home or will be commuting into the office less. But there are, I've spoken to dog trainers about it, and it's something that I think people have to gradually phase in so the dog gets used to their owner being around less.
Mm, absolutely. It's like children, isn't it? I mean, I heard the more fuss you make, the worse it becomes. The more fuss, the more anxiety it brings up. But the thing is, you might not be able to help the barking. Who knows? Maybe there is a lot of crying in the first week or something like that. How do you inform your neighbors? You know, I'm going through a divorce with my dog at the moment, you know.
Well, there are trainers who actually are kind of working on that to help people with those problems so that the dog gets used to it. I have heard of that.
Absolutely. And you can always break it up. I mean, I always broke up the day that the dog walker would come in. Robbie has a dog walker for one, even almost 2 hours. They were so great. And then sometimes they would even take Robbie home, you know, something like that, just the transition. I think a good dog walker who understands the situation is really important. But I don't think dogs fall out of habits. I think they can resettle quicker than a human, I think, when it's consistent. Am I right?
I think you're right. And I think if the dog has a good relationship with the dog walker anyway, then that's brilliant, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's really important that they get on with the dog walker and they feel they're like an extension of the family.
Absolutely. I just feel like Robbie's getting sick and tired of me as well. Like I'm doing so many Zoom classes from home. I'm doing the podcast from home. We are, you know, I'm looking at him and he's like, oh God, you know, again. And I'm just thinking, God, we need to break this up at some point. You know, it's not normal to sit at home all day long, work from home and then cook at home. And then, you know, it's just, I think humans do need to break up things during the day. It's just unnatural because we are hunter gatherers, right? Can't just gather everything from home.
We are. And I think you need to mix with friends and mix with other people. You know, I've got homeschooling at the moment. It's really hard because the kids, they want to see their friends. They like the routine. And they actually, I never thought I'd hear it, but, you know, they actually would like to be back at school. They're quite easier rather than having to sit in front of a laptop.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Maybe the whole thing worked itself out really nicely. You know, the kids go, Dad, Mom, I'm going to school. I'm going to do homework with my friend today. How amazing. I really think everybody will be just happy for anything. So how do you, it's amazing. So do you do events? Will you eventually, have you done like dog events? Have you been part of Crufts and things like that, Russell?
No, I haven't been involved in any dog events. I've been to a couple of small events run by the Dog Vine, Teresa at the Dog Vine, etc. in London. But, you know, that was pre-COVID. I mean, at the moment, we're focusing on, you know, getting more and more properties onto the portal and looking after clients across the country.
Absolutely. And do you get press? Do you get, papers approaching you? Is that a subject at the moment?
We had a picture of Biscuit was in the Sun a few weeks back through a contact. And then we had a little bit in the Bricks and Mortar. That was a few months ago. There was a piece that the Evening Standard on a happy client in a property. But unfortunately, that was put on the shelf because COVID hit. So it never was published.
Oh, dear. But also one thing I wanted to ask, how do you see the future of pet sled. So how do you see pet-friendly letting? Do you think, because as a doga teacher, I've had a lot of couples coming to my class either with their dog, and it is officially their child. I don't think they want kids, and necessarily not in the near future. Or I had couples coming to my class because they were desperate to be part of these dogs because they're thinking about getting a dog. I saw a lot of new, if I may say, millennials, it's sort of in their 20s and 30s, couples. Did you notice that will be more increasing?
I've had quite a few clients who are millennials, singles, with their dogs. One came over from Singapore and the dog came from the States, and it was an unfurnished property and all the furniture arrived, packed, but she was just really happy that the dog food was there in time.
Amazing. So the dog was living in America and she's in Singapore. Wow.
Yeah. And they're fine. They're really happy now. She's a really nice client. And the dog is her child. It was a rescue dog, and he's quite nervous. And she was training him, and they're family.
Incredible. I have to say, if I may mention names, I have collaborated with a company called Fizzy Living. They have Do you know about them? They have like 3-4 major complexes. Yeah, and they say it's dog friendly, and I was offering doga to the residents as a PR stunt and things like that. That's pretty new. Do you think there'll be more like that happening? More companies like this?
Well, the thing is, they offer pet friendly properties in blocks that they own. So they own those blocks. So they have a portfolio that they cover. The relocation service is a bespoke service where you listen to what your client's looking for. Where they want to be, and then you come up with ideas and find them a solution for themselves and their pets to fit the budget. So, for example, you know, we have a client who's coming over from another country, has a job in a hospital, so she is quite specific in the criteria she needs with her cat. So it's a bespoke service that we could go to Fizzy Living and say, what have you got? This is kind of going through the nitty-gritty bits of particular streets, locations, and coming up with ideas. You know, with a lot of clients, they say, I want this, and sometimes they'll end up with something completely different. You go, well, what about this? This is a much nicer location. This property could work for you better. So another client who's coming over from the US, we had a long chat the other day. She's lovely, and she said, just to let you know, my dogs are quite yappy. So I said, well, then a block of flats is not going to work for you, so let's look for a small house. It's where you won't have a neighbour complaining about your dog's yapping. It's just the small bits that you listen to with clients, and then you come up with solutions.
It's incredible. So they have a certain budget. So you would look at the budget, and then you might have to also convince the client to maybe move a little bit further away to get that place. Or, you know, it must be quite tricky, isn't it, to balance all of it out?
You do. It can be tricky. You do balance it out. So I had a client who she's coming over, and she said, I've looked at this, Guildford would be quite nice, but she'll be working more in Southwest London. And I said, you know, it looks really nice, the garden, but I'm just not sure whether, you know, after a while you're working long hours, commuting, it might just get to you. So you've got to balance it. And she doesn't know London very well. So you're using local knowledge to advise people. That's what we do. So everyone, the people that I work with have very good local knowledge of the areas and the properties, and they have their sources of contacts.
Have you had an extraordinary pet request, by chance? You know, when we look at pets, it can be any animal.
No. I was asked about someone who had 9 dogs. We got a client with 4 dogs. But 9, I think, is 4 we can do. We just... 4 should be okay, according to my colleague who's dealing with it, who I talk to all the time. But 9 would be you're going to struggle.
9 is a lot. 9 is a lot. I mean,
nine is a lot.
Definitely. And I mean, I am kind of keen to think, I have been thinking about a second dog. I have thought about a second dog. And I do, my garden is large enough. I mean, it goes right to the end when I think I've got a more garden space than actually the studio space. And I have been thinking about it. I just don't know. I don't know how Paul's going to react.
Well, that's it. You just don't know how they react, do you?
No, but after 15 years... You know, I have been about your service, and I did want to look into it actually, because I am thinking of looking around. My wish would be a one bedroom sort of garden, maybe not necessarily garden then, but a one bedroom. And I'm central London or around the outskirts of London. I think hopefully gyms will reopen and yoga studios at some point where I do. And I do a lot of events. So Doga, hopefully I'll be rushing around and like in days teaching. So how much would a one bedroom central London, go on, just roughly how much
I can't, because it varies so much depending on which part of London you're talking about.
What about the East End? Not Shoreditch, but something a bit more further away.
If you're looking on a weekly basis, it just varies. I mean, it just varies on the location, the street, the kind of size of the property. It could be anything between 200 and 350 a week. It just varies. It's only when you start looking into it for clients and the research and then that you really get to the nitty-gritty of affordability.
And how hard is it to get studios with gardens? That garden studio, that I'd never found that. That's like unusual. Is that, am I right, or is that happening?
Yeah, that is unusual. I think that's great. It's a good find. You're more likely to get one beds, or sometimes if you get a really nice light lower ground floor flat. Some people are funny about lower grounds, but basement flat. But if they're light and they're set back from the light well, then they can work really well, and you can get them for a bit cheaper because some people just won't even consider a basement flat.
Really, I think that's a wonderful thing. Oh yeah, ground. You mean yeah, lower ground?
A lot of people have issues. Lower ground, but if it's light and it has an outside space, it can work really well, more in central London. And if they're light and it hasn't got any other issues such as damp, etc., it can work really well, and you can get them for less because just some people won't consider them.
Oh, this might be something that I'm going to look at then, potentially. That, oh, you've given me an idea.
The other tip is with dealing with agents, for example. You might talk to an agency and they say, as soon as you say the word pet or dog, they just hang up on you. Well, they just basically hang up on you. They don't want to talk to you. I've got nothing. But sometimes you could talk to someone else in that office who actually will be more sympathetic and more helpful. So just because someone's been unhelpful, you could have someone else there who will help you. But the other thing is to be aware of is that if properties say no to pets, but if they've been on the market for a long time, you know, time is money to landlords. They might actually reconsider. And if it's a small dog or just a cat, they might just say yes.
So it's worth coming back to a property that you've seen and checking
up on it. It's worth pursuing. It's worth pursuing.
Absolutely.
You're very quickly forgotten by estate agents. They've got so many people they're dealing with. You're quickly forgotten. So you've always got to be on their case.
So with you, would I just keep coming back to you and say, hey, you know, is this still going? Can you ask again? Would you be the middle person for that?
Yeah, if I'm dealing with a client, they don't have to talk to agents or people or landlords or anyone. I just deal with it until their property is found. So that's part of my job.
Okay. So when I sign up on your site, do I not directly communicate with the landlord at all? Oh, right. Okay. That's so fascinating. Oh, my goodness.
So basically, you'll come back, go through exactly, we'll discuss it, have a call, and then, you know, if you want to sign up, then we go through the whole process of signing up, and we take over.
It's absolutely brilliant. Is there anything that you would still like to advise or a hint or a tip or anything like that before we go into Doga?
Okay. I would just say that I know there are a lot of people who find it extremely difficult to find something with pets. I would just keep persevering. I would try local Facebook groups, local professionals, vets, etc. Because sometimes through word of mouth, that's another way of finding rentals. And as I said before, we have a Pets and Property Tips Facebook group. So feel free to join that and ask any questions you have.
Oh, I'm going to join it. It's brilliant. This is amazing.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Vernon Kay.
And I'm Holly Mackay.
And we're here to tell you about our brand new podcast, Parenting Past the Pandemic, brought to you by Aviva.
Yes, we're going to be delving into a whole heap of parenting topics from the generational gap to online safety.
And some of the big topics which have come up through the pandemic, such as helping to manage our kids' anxieties and how we can affect the world they'll grow into.
Parenting Past the Pandemic. Find it wherever you found this podcast.
Let's do something that will be for yourself as well. And is Biscuit there? Can you bring Biscuit over?
Yeah, Biscuit's here. Biscuit, come in. Good girl. Yeah, she's here.
How wonderful. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, she's here.
So,
because my wife does yoga as well, so sometimes Biscuit hangs around.
Oh, how wonderful. So, All we're going to do is a little bit of breathing technique. So today we're going to focus on the shoulders, because I also feel that when you have a very difficult job, the tension, neck and shoulders, I feel you're very tensed in the neck. Am I right? I have this
you
feeling.
Are right, yes.
Yes, I am. I know. I'm psychic. So what we're going to do, are you ready? Are you sitting up? Or are you sitting up straight on a? Are you sitting? Okay, good. Okay, doke.
And I'm sitting on a mat, and I've got Biscuit next to me.
Okay, doke. Okay, are you ready for this? So what we're going to do now is just a simple movement first for yourself. We're going to exhale, inhale, raise the arms over our heads. So you're going to stretch your arms right over your head, reach up, and then interlock the fingers and turn the wrists upwards. Does that make sense? So you turn the palms of your hands up towards the sky. And I can feel you're a very sporty person as well from your voice. So you do work out a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I like running.
Yeah, I know you're a runner. I can feel that from your voice. So pushing through the wrists just for a second, reach up to the sky. And with me, just take a deep breath. Biscuit might notice this. So as runners, we often don't breathe correctly when we run. You do a lot of sharp exhalation, but you might not get a full inhalation. So let's get that breathing going. Close your lips and just draw the breath through your nose. Keep the stretch and inhale. Exhale. Oh, good. Exhale. And keep, oh, nice exhalation. And now press into your wrists a little bit more, full rotation in the shoulders, drawing the shoulders away from the ears. Exhale. Oh, here we go. And Biscuit, is she looking at you when you're breathing like this?
She's right next to me.
Good. Just breathe into biscuit as you're doing that stretch. Hold it there. Hold it there. Do not drop your arms, lengthening, drawing the shoulders away from the ears. Inhaling, exhaling. Now, I'm going to challenge you because of your diaphragm. You're going to keep that stretch and you're going to sniff. And the way you're going to sniff, imagine there is a fly on the tip of your nose and you go like this. So you're drawing your navel in the spine as you exhale, just focusing on the exhale, sharp. Good. And biscuit might respond. Keep those arms up. Keep lifted. Sharp exhale, exhale, exhale. Sniff. Focus on the sniff. Good. Keep it there. Keep lengthening.
Okay.
I can hear you. I keep going. You're going to start getting tired, but keep pushing through. Keep turning the wrists upwards, upwards, upwards. Press into the palms of your hand. Keep those arms straight. Good. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, you're going to fold the right arm in half. You bend, fold at the elbow joint and hold your head. Yeah. You're going to rest the head in your arms sideways and give yourself a neck stretch and breathe through your nose.
Yeah, okay.
Just stretch the trapezius. Let your head really rest in the cradle of your right elbow. Just hang in there. Just hang loose. Good. What you can do, if biscuit is there with your left hand, just massage your dog as you're stretching, but keep that long, deep inhale, exhale through your nose.
She's walked off.
It doesn't matter. Keep that stretch and really, really drop the head. You should be able to feel the trapezius in the neck, slightly lengthening through the inhale. Don't overstretch, just use the breath. Exhale. Good. And now you're going to roll the head. Nice. You're going to roll the head forward so your chin touches the sternum. And you're going to interlock the fingers behind your head and just draw your chin in, bringing the chin in, deep breathing, and really stretch those neck muscles. Really breathe. Deep breathing. Find that inhale through your nose. Full breath through the nose, left and right nostril. That's good. Inhale. Exhale. Try and elongate your inhalation. Try to get it the same length as your exhalation. That's the key to yoga. To bring the mind and the body together. And then from there, you can just drop your head to the left, into the left arm, and just drop your head to the side and just lengthen the trapezius. Soften your shoulders, soften your face. Really allow your shoulders to drop in that stretch. Deep breathing through the nose. Inhale. Everything's about 5 to 8 breaths in yoga. Can you feel your heart rate slowing down a little?
fine. Yeah. Inhale. Really drop your head. Is it like your head just drops out to the side? You're really holding the weight of your head with your hand, just letting that trapezius just unfold. You see what I mean? You're not pulling, you're letting the breath do the work for you. And now the icing on the cake, and this is one that estate agents always do. I see them when they're sitting on their chairs. I can see through the window. Interlock your fingers behind the back of your head, the nape of your neck, and just drop your chin back and just cradle your head. Can you feel that? And just lift your chin up. That should feel really nice. And now just keep the elbows lifted and breathe. You okay? Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just
fine.
Cradle. You know, imagine you're on the beach. You're lying on the beach. Just take your head back and just breathe through your nose. Soften your heart. This is also for peace. Just to soften and soothe the heart center. And here you can even massage the back of your neck. Imagine someone's massaging so you can go right into the nitty-gritty muscles in your neck. There's always one side of the neck that's more tense. Yeah, that's the one. By the way, you can do this with Biscuit all times, the same thing. Maybe not pull their head, but just the back of the neck. That is something they love. Good. And then from there, coming back into the center, and just release the arms down to the side and just drop your shoulders down and just feel the difference. Just turn your head from left to right. Just make sure that it's feeling a little looser now. There we go. And exhale, release. That is just a simple, beautiful estate agent yoga mudra. So
great.
We're just bringing, just bringing the palms into prayer position. Is Biscuit still there? They're gone. Is Biscuit still?
She's gone. She's walked
she's
off.
She's gone. Okay, so I'm going to close.
She's walked off. She's gone.
That's fine. We're going to take a big om. You don't need to chant if you don't want to. I'll close the session with a big om because that's what we do in yoga, just to seal the practice, taking a deep inhale. And then inhale, exhale, and then we just bow our heads and say namaste. Namaste, Russell. Namaste, Biscuit. Namaste. Nama Paul. And thank you so much, Russell. I hope you're okay. A little different.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mai. It's very different, but I enjoyed it. It's good. Thank you. And it's lovely talking to you.
Thank you, Russell. Thank you, Biscuit.
No, thank you so much. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with My Dog. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, then please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. It helps others to find us. And talking of spreading the news, please tell another person about the podcast and help us reach more people and dogs. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week. Namapaw.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.